Amen. Hey, once again, we are in our gigantoid studies. I was reminded today, believe it or not, somebody did the math. We've been in this study for 6 years. It's amazing. And we're still not done. But that's right. World religions, cults, and the occult. And we are on the topic that I forget which one it is. I don't know. Number 16. Voodoo, vampires, and the rise of demon worship is where we're at. Now, we've already dealt with a couple different things. We've dealt with the existence of demons, the character of demons, the tactics. And then for seven times, we dealt with the history of demons. And that was to figure out how in the world did we get into this mess, not just in the world, but even in the churches we're seeing. How is it that people are commingling, looking to demons for advice, and even in the church? How do we get into that? So we dealt with the history aspect on that. And then we saw that it didn't stop there. It began to branch off into other movements. Now, the last five times we saw the first movement, that spiritualism, which is basically connecting with demons, seeking demons, trying to get in contact with demons, seeking advice from demons. That's all it is. Okay, the first one was voodoo. Okay, and we saw voodoo for five times that it started in West Africa. And that's bad enough. It's an occult thing, which is a sin. We're going to see that again tonight. But because of another sin called slavery, it began to spread across the world. And that's what we saw. Where did it go after West Africa? It went to South America because slavery went there. It also went to the Caribbean, which is also where they went with slavery. And then, of course, as we all know, slavery came here to America. Well, guess what came with it? Voodoo came with it as well. We saw last time two types of American voodoo, but the first one was Louisiana voodoo. It's also known as, quote, voodoo Catholicism, because we saw it's just a merging of the two, okay, unfortunately. And we saw that the whole goal of voodoo was to connect with the spirits, okay? And the connect with the spirits are attained through various rituals such as dance, music, chanting, and the use of snakes. In Louisiana voodoo. Good thing we don't see so-called Christians trying to use snakes in their so-called worship of, yeah. Most of what we see in a lot of churches today, even with the label of charismatic, a lot of it is what I call voodoo Christianity. Their practices come straight out of voodoo. People don't know that because they've never studied what voodoo is. But snakes is also being done today. Louisiana voodoo, that's where we're at. They also got their deities. We saw there was a Blanc Nani, and you got Papa Labette. And we looked at the other ones. They're pretty much the same, but they change the names a little bit depending on the country. We saw that, again, they got different spirits, which the Bible would call demons, okay, including mermaids. And it just so happens, once again, Disney is coming out with a new and improved Little Mermaid to reflect the occult aspect in Louisiana voodoo. They believe big on mermaids and things of that nature, just in time for Disney to do another occult cartoon. We also saw they are in ancestor worship. The practice is, again, what's the goal of voodoo is to get a spirit to inhabit you, to speak through you, to give you a prophecy and all this stuff, supposed to give you healing powers, etc. That's being done through song. And believe it or not, we also saw in Louisiana voodoo, not just snakes, but they also use flags. Flag waving and voodoo, Louisiana voodoo. And it's a good thing we don't see churches today using flags for some reason. Wow. Is anybody starting to see a pattern here? Yeah. It's a spirit of God, a new movement of God. No, it's old-fashioned voodoo. That's all it is, as we saw there. We also saw the symbols of voodoo, the fleur de lis. Okay, it's a Catholic connection because, again, it's emerging with Catholicism with voodoo, okay, which just happens to be the helmet of the New Orleans Saints, and they were even more blunt about it. They had for years the New Orleans voodoo arena football team. They have their amulets. It's called gris-gris. For those of you hooked on incorrect pronunciation, they would call gris-gris. But it's pronounced gris-gris, and that is used to, cure anxiety, addictions, feelings of depression, loneliness, as well as help the poor, hungry, sick, or, of course, or kill people. Right? It's all occult stuff, right? We also saw they use voodoo dolls, still to this day, modeled after the European, what was called poppets. They do animal sacrifices. They're so big in Louisiana on their voodoo. They have a queen of voodoo that we saw there. In fact, and I quote, her gravesite, Marie Laveau, is the oldest cemetery in Louisiana in that area there, and is a major tourist attraction. Believers of voodoo offer gifts to her and pray to her spirit to ask for favors. Still to this day, they go to her grave, right? But man, it's a good thing we don't see churches going to people's grave sites to try to suck off power and do all that kind of. Oh, wait a second, that's being done too. You might start to see a pattern here. Most of what's being called charismatic Christianity is charismatic voodoo. That's all it is, folks. Carbon copy. They just relabel. Then they want you and I to join them every year with the Mardi Gras. And that's what it's all about. Mardi Gras is big on just celebrating voodoo big time. Then that was just the first aspect of American voodoo. from slavery. The second one's called hoodoo voodoo, believe it or not. And this is kind of a combination we saw of what they want to say. Oh, we're just specifically African voodoo. We're not like the other Louisiana voodoo that's Caribbean and South American. But really, they freely admit it's a hodgepodge. They even intermingle Islam, believe it or not, with theirs. Their practitioners are called root workers, root doctors, conjure doctors, hoodoo doctors, swampers. Hoodoo means spirit work. So again, the name itself means that they're connecting with the spirits, i.e. demons. They've got their own paraphernalia. They don't have gri-gri, but they have conjure bags, as we saw there, also known as mojo bags. Get your mojo. That's where that comes from. It's voodoo. We saw they also have what was called not only a conjure bag, but the goofer dust, okay, that they use sometimes to kill people. They have what's called the jack ball. They have a honey jar to sweeten your circumstances. I think they have the face jug, right? They have a hoodoo stick. And you'll be happy to know that you can get apparently some good prices for all this stuff. Still on Amazon today, if you can believe that. We saw that they use things called luck balls. They have a bottle tree. They might have seen those. They believe that that's what's going to trap the evil spirits and protect them and all that stuff. We saw that. We saw two things, the cosmogram cross and the ring shout. And these are still being done in churches today. This is straight out of voodoo. And the ring shout in hoodoo is where they dance counterclockwise with music. And the whole goal is to, quote, catch the spirit, which would be a demon, catch the spirit or bring down the spirit. That's the whole goal. So we don't see people today in the church saying the whole purpose of music now, which is not biblical, the whole purpose of music now is to play it long enough, very repetitive, with repetitive movement, repetitive speaking, whatever, and keep it up until something comes down and begins to affect you spiritually. That's what's supposed to be Christian worship. That's voodoo, folks. That's exactly what it is, right? And that was the whole go. Then we saw that was bad enough, okay? It's just been relabeled. And we saw it merged with so-called evangelical Christianity. Instead of calling it catch the spirit, a demon, or their ancestors, which would be a demon, they began to use evangelical Christian terms. Before, remember the voodoo? It converged with Catholicism. And to hide it from people, they would say, oh no, we're praying to Saint so-and-so. It was really the voodoo spirit. Well, they took on evangelical terms, the hoodoo Christianity, into churches, and instead of saying it's an ancestor spirit, that's the Holy Spirit who has now descended upon us. That's why you're feeling what you're feeling while we do our occult practice. That's how it happened. And I quote, as we ended last time, hoodoo entered into and created, and I quote, the Word of Faith movement, prosperity theology, and, quote, deliverance ministries, hoodoo practices of praying to ancestral spirits to remove demonic curses. When you get saved, you're not under a curse. Jesus Christ saved you from that. I don't need somebody to deliver me from a curse. I have been set free. I'm a brand new creation in Christ. But where's this come from? It's throughout churches today. Unfortunately, it's straight out of voodoo, specifically hoodoo voodoo, which came over from slavery. Now, unfortunately, it didn't stop there. This is where we're at now tonight. The second spiritualist movement, that was just the first one, voodoo. The second one is shamanism. Okay. And it's okay because these people just love nature and everybody just wants to save the planet and, you know, keep the planet from blowing up, that climate change thing, right? And it's just peace loving. And we just need to go back to that. No, it's basically what I call indigenous voodoo, very similar. And the whole goal, just like voodoo, is you want to get possessed by a demon so that you can have these special powers. We'll get into that. But before we get into that, shamanism is our next one. Let's again remind ourselves what God feels about these occult practices, including not just voodoo, but now shamanism. And again, he does not mince words. Exodus 22 is our opening chapter. Exodus chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. As we take a look at how does God feel about this? Again, if you were here on Sunday, we saw from Leviticus a list of do's and don'ts, and then all of a sudden all these do's and don'ts that were all good, right? How many of you guys realize that it's not just God's here's something you can do is good? How many realize that even his don'ts are good? When he says don't do something, that's a good thing. All of his word is for are good. But last week we saw on Sunday that in amidst the do's and don'ts, he plops in a couple things like don't mate two different kinds of animals, you know, don't, you know, all that stuff, and don't do two kinds of seeds and things of that nature. Well, it was just like, there's a reason for that, as we saw in our study. But here you're going to see the same thing. He's going to have a bunch of lists of do's and don'ts right smack in the middle. He's like, bang, don't be messing with the occult. And he's very strong with his words about it because obviously it's demonic. But let's take a look. Verse 14, if a man borrows an animal from his neighbor and it is injured or dies while the owner is not present, he must what? Make restitution. Why? Because you need to be responsible for your behavior. Teach responsibility. That's a good thing, right? Right. But if the owner is with the animal, the borrower will not have to pay. If the animal was hired, the money paid for the hire covers the lost. Okay, move on to the next one. Now, if a man seduces a virgin who is not pledged to be married and sleeps with her, he must pay the bride price and what? She shall be his wife. Guess what? That would get rid of your deadbeat dad issue, right? It's called be responsible. Back in my day, growing up, it's called a shotgun wedding. You gonna marry my daughter, right? And it's because you need to be what? Responsible.
Right.
That's a good thing. Boy, that'd fix a lot of things in society today, right? If her father absolutely refuses, though, to give her to him, he must still pay the bride price for virgins. Do not allow what?
A sorceress
to what?
Live.
And just as evil, watch this, anyone who has sexual relations with an animal, bestiality, which is now being commonized, must be what?
Put to death.
Whoa. And what? Whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord must be what?
Destroyed.
Now, how many guys would say, you guys seem very discerning tonight, but the verbs that are used there, right there in the middle, is do not be allowed to live, put to death, and be destroyed. That's kind of a serious warning from God. When he attaches those things to when he says, don't do this, it's kind of an attention getter. Anybody?
Yeah.
Exactly. And that tells you how God feels on those last ones about sin, including the sin of occult behavior, right? The Hebrew word there for sorceress is kashath, and it means one who obviously practices witchcraft or sorcery. Now watch this. The Hebrew word there for put to death, this is cool. It's actually pronounced like this, muth. And I know you're thinking that's a cow with a missing tooth, but that's not what it is. Okay, muth literally means, listen, to be executed. And then the Hebrew word there for destroyed is karam, and it means not just destroy, but listen, completely destroy. Dedicate for destruction, to literally exterminate. That's some strong words. Why? Because sin, certainly bestiality, certainly idolatry, boy, that one seems to get a pass today, and certainly the occult, demonic, man. All will destroy you. And God says, don't you let that influence. You better get rid of that fast. Right? Okay. God takes occult practices very seriously. The penalty for practicing under the Mosaic law was death. The New Testament term for sorcery translated pharmakeia. What's that? We get the English word pharmacy, which means what? And this is going to be the theme tonight. I didn't plan on it, but it's just the way it worked out. Drugs. Good thing we don't see drugs permeating society today. Yeah. Now, here's the reason why it has that pharmakeia. It means kind of pharmacy drugs. Because in a quote, occult practices, it involves ritualistic use of not just magic potions, but quote, mind controlling drugs. Using illicit drugs, open yourselves to invasion of demonic spirits, which a person, when they take a substance that is to achieve that state of altered consciousness, this is a common occult practice. Drugs are one of the fastest way to get you connected with a demon. So guess what God would say then? Don't do it. Don't mess with it. Exterminate. Get rid of it. Whoa! Because that's how serious it is. There's only two sources of power, God or Satan. God's not God's all powerful. Satan's not all powerful like God. He has power, but only what God allows him to do. But it's still substantial. Nobody you want to mess with. And so, therefore, to seek spirituality, knowledge, or power apart from God, he considers that idolatry. That's why that last one is very serious too. Not just bestiality and sorcery, and it's closely related to witchcraft. Why? Because 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." How dare you go to some occult practice for knowledge, for power, for whatever, other than God, right? That's why he says that. Witchcraft is Satan's realm, and it's his counterfeit to what God does. So God's all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants, create out of nothing, ex nihilo, right? And that's what he does. That's what he does all the time. He can perform any miracle. So here comes Satan. He's got powerful, but it's nothing like God. But that's what he does. He dupes people into thinking that he's all powerful like God. Or, hey, just like the lie of Garden of Eden, I know God said don't do that. But if you focus on yourself and what you really want out of life, then I'll show you that you could be like God. And you can use my techniques, and you can do power, and you can create your own reality, and you get what you want. That's the occult. That's the heart of the occult, which is the heart of the temptation back in the Genesis chapter 3. Okay, and so if Satan can't get you with selfism, which is Satanism we saw before, if he can't get you with witchcraft or even sorcery, he'll repackage it as voodoo, as we're going to see tonight. He will do it with shamanism, okay? Because, you know, you may not fall for voodoo, but there's other people that, especially if you just love nature. I got to get out of here and go hug a tree, you know? And haven't you seen it? I mean, the planet, I mean, the climate's changing. Yeah, duh, it changes every day, right? But this whole movement, there's a religion behind it, and it ain't the religion of Christianity, right? And they're using that, not only Klaus Schwab and the gang to take over the planet, but there is a spirit behind it, and it's not from God. But shamanism helps suck people into that. So let's begin to break it down. The first thing we're going to see about shamanism is the definition of shamanism. Shamanism is the occult method in which an individual called, this is why it's called shamanism, the individual is called a shaman, okay? And the word itself, okay, shaman comes from the word samen, without the H, and the verb comes from sa, okay, S-A, okay, and it means to know, which is one of the things God says. If you want to know something, who do you go to? You go to God. Don't you go to the occult practice. Don't listen to Satan's counterfeit, right? But the very word itself, shaman, means somebody who knows. You need to know something? You go to the shaman. No, you need to go to God. But see, that's the counterfeit. It's built into the actual name. It literally means one who knows. And their attempt is, the shaman, to solve problems through the manipulation and contact with the spirit world. What's that sound like? That's voodoo, right? And again, so the whole goal is I got to communicate with basically what God would call demons. Now, they don't call them because people would freak out and run. But that's what it is. It's demons in order to get advice, counsel. And again, that's Satan's counterfeit, right? Shamanism is like voodoo, and it believes in what's called animism. Everything's supposed to be alive, including rocks, clouds, trees, rivers, as well as animals. I'm personally very glad that that is not true. Back in New York, when I used to have to mow a yard, praise God for rock landscape. Okay, but I had this big old lot back there. My so-called day off, heavy on theory, that never really got to become a day off. But it took me half a day, man, just to do that. But yes, I am complaining. But anyway, so my point is I don't know about you, but I'm glad that when I'm out there taking a half a day mowing through that grass, that as I was mowing through it, the grass wasn't going, oh, here he comes again, the decapitator. Because it was bad enough. I was sweating. I didn't want to hear grass screaming, right? I sell it because, come on, Aunt, it's alive? Everything's alive? It's ridiculous. But that's what they believe. Because if you say everything's alive, then everything's got a spirit. And then that's what you need to contact, the spirit of the rock, the spirit of the tree. Sound familiar? That's Disney's other. We'll get into that probably later. Have you seen the cartoon Pocahontas? Yeah, it might as well be Pocahontas, because Pocahontas actually was a Christian, but Disney come in and spiritualized it and turned it into an occult movie. Shocker! Okay, but anyway, so they believe that everything has a spirit, the spirit of the trees, the spirit of the rivers, the spirit of the blah, blah, blah. So that's what it is. And again, you can see why it merges well with the climate change environmental group, because it's all about nature. That's all they're doing. Now, you're communing with demons is what you're doing. Now, here's the big aspect. They believe these spirits are not only everywhere, demons permeate our world, but they affect our lives. Yeah, you bet they do. That's why you want to stay away from them. But anyway, here's the whole goal, is that shamans use, quote, altered states of consciousness to contact spirits. Now, that's not the only one, but that is a main one. Voodoo, we saw, what was the main way that they connected with the demons?
Dance,
music and dance. Music and dance. Music and dance. Repetitive behavior, right? That was one of their main things. Now, they can use some drugs, too. And it's not that you won't see that shamanism doesn't use music and, they're going to do that too. But one of the big ways that shamanisms do it is to use drugs and bang, you're there. And it ain't just a physical trip, man. You are connecting with the demons, right? And this is straight out of shamanism. They don't hide from it. The rest of the world's been duped. They believe that these, quote, spirit guides, because you can't call them demons, spirit guides, right? Once you get into this altered state of consciousness, right, is going to help you to make decisions in life and tell you the future and give you a healing, etc., blah, blah, blah. They also use what's called astral projection, where in theory a person leaves their body and travels to the spirit world. They use different techniques we'll get into of divination, throwing the bones and all kinds of other things to supposedly predict the future, okay? But it's practiced, believe it or not, all over the world. And we'll see even that even tonight, okay? including here in the West. The West, again, is backing up into the occult. And if they can't get you with voodoo, then if you're one of those nature folks, why don't you try shamanism? But here's the guy here telling us what shamanism is. And watch how he pitches it. It's just so awesome and relaxing. Don't take this wrong, Brian, on your birthday, but almost kind of like how Brian said, we want to connect with you. Very relaxed, very relaxed. I'm not saying you're a shaman, but we'll talk later. But anyway, but watch how it's pitched, man. This is crazy.
What is shamanism? Attracted me to shamanism. Actually, I've always had a really strong connection to the land and the spirits and animals and plants, but most of my adult life I did not practice shamanism up until about maybe 10 to 12 years ago. And what triggered that spark, that connection to this journey and this path that I've been on has been this connection to the land. I went to Central America, and for the very first time in Belize, I was able to understand what it's like to connect to the spirit of a land and its ancestors. Many people in our culture today are being more open and understanding of shamanism, and are definitely people are being surrounded by a lot more in life, but a lot of people still don't know what a shamanic healing session is or what it means. Some people have very misconceptions of what shamanism is and how a person can really benefit from a session. It can alter a person's life. It can change your life. It's filled with love and compassion and working with you through counseling and on an emotional level and a spiritual level, as well as the physical healing aspect of it. So we work with a person with many different modalities, everything from sound healing to soul retrieval and soul healing, and working with a person on a deep level to help their essence, to help bring back that missing part of them so that they can feel whole again. We also work with extraction work, that if you have, say, a nagging backache or a very infectious disease or many different ailments, we can work with giving you healing on that physical level to help remove what might be harmful and give it the healing and the new essence that it deserves. My goal is to help a person move through a challenge in their life, to help them either to see the light side of it or the positive side of something, to give them advice and encouragement and power to help facilitate their life's journey, to walk the red road, and especially to give a person faith. Faith is something that as a society we don't always have, and through spiritual healing, shamanic healing, all different forms of healing, we can receive deep faith that within ourselves and within those around us and also our planet. I often will say we, because it's not me doing the work, it's the spirits.
wasn't that so relaxing? I mean, he just wanted to connect with the land, man. Right? Yeah, dude, I had to get some coffee or two or something. Whew. Get to the end of that. But what did he say there? It's not me doing the work. It's the what?
Spirit.
And so when this guy's placing the rocks on your belly, when he's blowing the smoke on you, yeah, hopefully he didn't spit on me. When he's waving the fan, doing all this, you're going to feel something, all right? But it's not the Spirit of God. That's the seduction, right? A lot of people are doing that, alternative. Some of this stuff's coming into, again, as we talked before, into secular psychology. These kind of techniques. But it's demonic, right? But notice how they pitch it. It's peaceful, it's loving, it's just nature worship, connecting with the earth, the animals, and people. And yeah, you're helping people connect, right? But with demons is what it is. It's repackaged by Satanism. So if he can't get you with voodoo and some of the other stuff, he's going to try to get you with this, especially if you're one of those who just, I just love nature, whatever. Now, I don't know if he listened to that. You may have fell asleep at that point. But he used the phrase there, to walk the red road. Did you know that? That is a shamanistic phrase that is the people who walk this road, shamanism, as a way of life, is what he's talking about there. Okay, but that's the definition of it. Now let's take a look at the practitioners. What is that shaman doing? Well, either his lips are on fire or looks like he's smoking something. I wonder what he's smoking. This is what's going on. This is the whole theme of tonight, and I'll tell you in a second what he's smoking. Boy, have we been duped, right? The shaman, of course, is the practitioner. He's known by other names, too, not just shaman. He could be called the holy man, a priest, medicine man, or flat-out witch doctor. And, quote, the spirits are many, demons, and varied, and the experiments of shamans around the globe, quote, share striking similarities. In other words, they all come from the same source. No matter what continent they do this on, okay? They're basically the same among indigenous peoples, whether in Siberia, Australia, South Africa, North and South America. And it is the responsibility of the shaman to find the most, quote, beautiful, loving, healing, and wise, and powerful spirits for the rest of us. Well, it's all demonic. As we saw before, it's good cop, bad cop. They're all bad. Oh, I just do white witchcraft. I don't do that black witchcraft. No, it's all bad, right? Okay, the shaman knows his spirits, quote, intimately and by name. And again, it could just be the spirit of the white buffalo. It could be the spirit of the tree, right? The whole thing that Pocahontas, they did all the songs with, right? But he speaks to them daily and, quote, views them as his alter ego. Like the guy said, it's not me, it's them. Who also had alter egos speak to him and inspired him to do things? Carl Jung, remember that? Basileides was one of the spirits that spoke to him, the demons. He had several of them that inspired him. And he even admitted, it's not I who am writing this, it's them. And you think you're going to go to him and get help? Psychology is nuts. Okay, but that's what they did. Now, so that's the whole point. So the whole point of the shaman, the practitioner, okay, is he is to connect with these spirits, demons, and then he's supposed to find the best ones for you, right? And then once he finds them, he gets possessed by them, and they use him to affect change in you, which is a demonic change. But that's the whole goal, right? That's the practitioner. That's what he does. That's what he exists for. Now, the question is, well, all right, well, how does he connect then with these spirits? And I quote, hallucinogenic drugs are part of the ritual in which he interacts with his spirits for guidance. And here's just one of those drugs that shamans use on a regular basis to connect specifically with demons in their own words. I wonder what drug that is. Let's take a look.
Today, I am going to talk to you about the use of marijuana in traditional shamanic practice. This subject comes up a lot in my Q&As. I want to share with you today some research that I have done over decades. So I have researched this deeply. I have personal experience with it. I want to share that with you. And I want to talk to you about, from the traditional shamanic understanding, how power plants in general, but specifically today I want to focus on marijuana, how that is used in multiple shamanic disciplines all over the world.
What do you say? Marijuana. And this is straight from the horse. This is what they do. This is shamanism. This is their goal. They admit on tape that one of the drugs they use to get connected with the demon is what? Marijuana. You're not just taking a physical trip. You're taking a spiritual trip. I've said this for years. Okay, but I don't know about you, but it's a good thing that marijuana is not being legalized and encouraged around society. Think about what he just said. And the basic core, just like voodoo, shamanism, is to connect with the demon. And shamans, they might use some dancing and singing like voodoo does to connect with the demons, get possessed. But they use drugs, specifically marijuana, to get possessed. I got a theory that goes like this. The more that people use marijuana, the more we're going to see people demon possessed. Now, the prophetic infinite importance of that is this. The Bible says that is what's going to be commonplace in the seven-year tribulation. People are going to be demon-possessed, and a lot of it is because of drug usage, right? This is Revelation 9, 20 and 21. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop what? Worshiping demons, right? Oh, we don't worship demons. Well, you worship the tree, the flea, the bee, all that stuff. You worship saint this and saint that, whatever. It's all demons, right? You might not call it that, but you're worshiping demons. They wouldn't stop it. Well, why not? Nor did they repent of their what? Murders, their what? Magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Magic arts, just so we saw earlier, was pharmakeia, where we get the word pharmacy or drugs, right? And so the Bible says that one of the characteristics of the seven-year tribulation, as bad enough as it is, right? It says, here's that society. That society is going to get so bad, right? And their hearts are going to be so hard that they're not only going to worship demons, they refuse to stop it. They don't repent of their behavior. They don't stop using pharmakeia, drugs, sexual minor. They refuse to get right with God. Why? Because I think part of it is the clouding of the mind with the drugs and all that stuff. They've bought into Satan's counterfeit. And then, of course, they don't turn God's way. They refuse to do it. Okay, but it's a good thing we don't see any signs of drugs themselves permeating the planet that would create a pharmakeia society like that in the seven-year tribulation, right? Drugs this, drugs that, drugs here, drugs there, drug raid, drugs in schools, drugs in homes, drugs in streets, drugs in the government, drugs around the world. Are you kidding me? Drug usage has gone ballistic in our lifetime. And it's going nuts. It's crazy, right? Marcus and I were just talking. It was like now they're looking at not only legalizing marijuana in even more states, but now it's mushrooms are next and some other one that's like, what, cocaine or something like that, some equivalent to that, or ecstasy or something like that. It's like, are you kidding me? What's that going to do to people? Well, according to shamanism, what's it going to do? It's going to get people possessed. Bang! Just like that. Oh, but no, you don't understand. You don't understand. Marijuana, it's not like that. It's, you know, it's okay. It's just, I'm relaxing. I'm chilling out. It makes me a better driver, right? I don't get so mad at so much. You've heard all that stuff. And if you're actually thinking that, you need to stop listening to this guy. He says, my hobbies include smoking marijuana and hunting with my dog. Let that sink in. You kidding me? See, that's the lie. That's the counterfeit of Satan. Oh, no, marijuana, it's healthy. This is healthy for you, right? It just helps you to chill out, right? Just helps you to relax, right? Just to calm down and, you know, like Brian and that, you know, come on, we want to connect with you, man, right? That's all it is. No, it's not. According to shamanism, it's one of the major drugs to what? Get you demon possessed. And can I tell you something? That's exactly what's happening today. And it is being legalized all over the place. Why? Because it's witchcraft. It's witchcraft, folks. They use this in the occult all the time. Right? It's a good thing Christians aren't sliding on this issue. Yeah, whatever. Okay? Now you're thinking, well, really, is it really that bad? Yes, it is. Just like God said, stay away from it. It's witchcraft. Pharmakeia. Don't do it. This is demonic. It literally opens up the realm to demons. You don't want to mess with this. Right? And let me give some proof that it's not good. Every state where marijuana has been legalized, and I quote, crime rates have gone up, homelessness is through the roof, and it is killing more people. including on the road. Let me give you just some quick evidence of that.
According to a recent study by researchers from Columbia University, drivers who died in car accidents tested positive for marijuana three times more often from 1999 to 2010, when 20 states legalized marijuana for medical purposes. The study looked at data from the Fatality Analysis Reported System, covering 23,000 drivers that died over the 11-year period of the study. In 2010, 12.2% of the dead drivers tested positive for cannabinol, compared to the 4.2% that tested positive in 1999. Dr. Guo Li, co-author of the study from the Columbia University Medical Center, said, "If the current trends continue, non-alcohol drugs such as marijuana will overtake alcohol and traffic fatalities around 2020.
So much for making you a safer driver. Folks, I've been there, done that. I just gave my testimony. I did about every drug on the sun, including this. You have no business doing anything with this. And it's not just let alone driving. You have no business doing it, period. And I've been there, done that. Wonder why the demonic activity picked up when I started doing this kind of stuff. Because that's what shamans use. That's what they do. It's not just relaxing. No, it's opening up demonic realms. In fact, even here in Vegas, Metro, and I quote, is gearing up for more troubles because pot is going crazy here in Vegas, as you guys know. It's nuts, okay? In fact, it says right here that they are gearing up for high drivers. It's not going to help things. It's going to make things worse, okay? And it's being legalized. Now, it's getting so bad. It's not just being legalized. Now, it's getting so easy. You got drive-through places that you can go through. You can got all kinds of, they keep popping up on the corner, right? And the government goes along with it because they're taxing it big time, but they make so much profit off of it. It's just a new business. But what are we talking about here? Giving people, listen, not just marijuana. According to the shamans, you're giving people a substance that as soon as it gets into your brain, what happens? Bang! You're connected with demons. That's what's going on. We are giving over-the-counter demon drugs. That's what's going on. It's crazy. And then, that's not bad enough. Now, they're making it even more easier, especially for younger folks. Maybe you don't want to smoke it, because you know smoking is bad for your health. Well, how about some candy? Or just get out of a vending machine. Let's take a look at that.
Edibles account for somewhere between 20 and 30% of our gross sales here in the shop. What's happening a lot with the edible manufacturers who have focused on a hard or a soft candy is that the most cost-effective way for them to bring that to the market is to use knockoff candy. And so they'll buy it in bulk form, then they infuse it by using viscous hash oil. They spray that onto the candy, and once that candy dries, there's really no way to tell the difference between infused and candy that's not infused. The problem is that some of these products look so similar to candy that's been on the market that we've eaten as children, that there's really no way for a child or a parent or anybody, even an expert in the field, to tell you whether or not a product is infused or not.
Well, it's a vending machine that's unlike any other. You can buy marijuana out of it. A business in Denver recently installed it. Fox's Jeremy Hubbard has the story.
Okay, hang on.
A special delivery tonight at Montana Smokehouse Barbecue up in Avon. Not the bubblegum and candy you find in most restaurant vending machines. This one is distinctly Colorado.
The future is outside, and we're pretty excited about it.
Stefan Sheeran's company, American Green, delivering the Zazz. It's the state's first marijuana edibles vending machine.
Many people could look at this and say, well, it's a vending machine, and they'd be partially right, but mostly wrong.
That's for sure. The machine will soon be stocked with goods from Herbal Elements in nearby Eagle Vale. They'll fill it with some of their most popular products. But these guys are convinced they are about to revolutionize their industry with this green machine.
I don't think we've dreamed what it can do yet. That's the whole point. You start with this and you start making your way into the future. I think this is a great starting place.
Yeah, it's a great starting place to help people get demon-possessed, according to shamanism. Think about how wicked our society is getting. That we are so into drugs that now you can go, oh, what's that? I can just use this vending machine, ching, ching, and get connected. It's crazy. We laugh about it, but it's like, this is really going on. And this is spreading all over the world. And then again, they're opening up even beyond marijuana. What's this going to do to the planet? I think it's going to lead to a Revelation 9 scenario, where the bulk of the people are so stinking evil and they're so full of drugs, their minds are clouded, no matter what goes on, they still refuse to repent of their works and get right with God. It's nuts. But I don't know about you, it's a good thing that we don't see any signs of the church falling for this. I mean, it was bad enough that you fell for the voodoo and turned it into Christian voodoo, and you ripped off Christian music and made it in a way that, you know, and changed the names. It's not a demon spirit, it's a Holy Spirit, and this is the whole purpose of getting possessed by this thing in the wave of the Spirit of God. And that was bad enough. Well, it's a good thing the church ain't doing this. Did you like how creative I was? I built that up with a great crescendo. Did you like it? I worked all week on that. Sarcasm to make a point. No. The church is going along with marijuana, which is what? Opening people up to demons. The church. Let me give you a couple quick examples. This is nuts.
Legalization of marijuana has been sung about by Peter Tosh, but who'd have thought that television evangelist Pat Robertson would now support the idea?
Became sort of a hero of the hippie culture, I guess, when I said I think we ought to decriminalize the possession of marijuana.
But another group is using the law to start a brand new church. In fact, church members say they love cannabis. Brother Nightbeach David McNally says not everyone is happy to have them in their Southeast Side neighborhood.
Others have a place. But where's ours? The International Church of Cannabis is a 13,000 square foot space located in Denver, Colorado, that is the first large venue in the world where adults can legally consume cannabis in a social environment. Our church is the spiritual home to adults everywhere who ritually take the sacred flower to find inspiration and meaning. We are Elevationists, an open-minded congregation that welcomes people of all faiths and cultures to join us as we partake of the sacred flower with you, our brothers and sisters.
That flock from as far away as Montana.
I've never seen a church like this, and I used to smoke pot.
Welcome to the First Church of Canvas!
Well, I hitchhike 978 miles to get here, and I'd do it all over again.
To have people come up to you and say, hi, you know, I just traveled 1,000 miles to share love with you. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah, wow, well, I was right. Now, I don't know. I mean, back in my day, it used to be have a church barbecue or something, or, you know, try to bring people in or bring in, you know, special speaker or something, but. Notice how they admit that there's a spiritual, the sacred plant, that there's a spiritual element. That aspect, they're right. It's called shamanism, the occult. There is a spiritual thing that's going on here. You're going to connect with the demon with this. But where they get it wrong is they want to, again, just like the voodoo practices, they're relabeling it with Christianese. And somehow it's a new form of worship in the church. It's nuts. And believe it or not, it's going on here in Vegas too. This is crazy. Watch this.
Those interested in the medical marijuana industry, and it was held at what may be the very first cannabis church in Nevada. The storefront facility located near the corner of Maryland Parkway and Tropicana. The owners also conduct dispensary tours in southern Nevada and say they're recruiting for marijuana industry positions around the state.
Well, what you're looking at right here is the Higher Power Cannabis Church. What we believe is actually the first church here in Nevada that believes that cannabis is actually part of the religion.
The church, they say, has its roots with universal Unitarianism.
Which, again, tells you how far off base they are spiritually. But notice, was that a quinky-dink? He was Pastor Green? I don't think so. Higher power? I mean, you can't say Jesus and God anymore, but people might be open to that. Higher power. It's led to this, and this is here in Vegas. And I quote, chapel gives couples a, not wedding, a weeding. And I quote from this article, will you be in my weeding? The happy couple, Natalie and Lee Rice, traveled to Vegas from Phoenix to get weeded. For them, it was a chance to celebrate not only their love for each other, but also the important role of cannabis and how it plays in their life as a couple. At their weeding, the chapel was decked out with cannabis decorations, and Natalie carried a cannabis bouquet. Lee wore a boutonniere with pot leaves and buds, and the minister wore a cannabis leaf patterned suit. But cannabis is more than just a trendy decoration. Quote, it's a way of life. Through our shared search for a higher power, the church's website says, we have come to believe that cannabis is a miracle plant with many benefits. And it describes itself as a congregation that seeks, quote, inspiration and insight from all major world religions, which tells you that it has nothing to do with Christianity, obviously. Quote, the church's minister who performed Natalie and Lee's wedding said that cannabis is the perfect symbol for marriage. And on their website, they even say things like this, direct quote, can using cannabis save your marriage? Yeah, you got enough problems? How about invite some demons? It's bad enough you're dealing with your own flesh nature, which is usually where marital problems come from, because the old man's sin nature. Hey, let's add some demons on top. Oh, that'll make things better. It's nuts. They said, quote, Jesus healed sick people with marijuana. These are articles on the so-called church's website, including an article about Bast, B-A-S-T, the goddess of cannabis, who is, quote, one of the oldest known deities, an ancient Egyptian goddess of cats, dawn, civilization, home, bounty, plenty, enlightenment, art, music, dance, creation, birth, fertility, sex, physical pleasure, lesbianism, truth, hemp, marijuana, drugs, moon, and the rising sun. On their website. And, quote, cannabis was an ingredient, they say, in holy anointing oil. And that's right, marijuana and meditation. I'll say it again. When you take these kind of drugs, including marijuana, you are not just taking a physical trip, you're taking a spiritual trip. That's why I had the guy in shamanism for decades admit marijuana is one of the drugs they use all the time, as you're going to see in a little bit, around the world to do just that. We have been sold a counterfeit, a bill of goods, and it's, you wonder why things are getting so demonic out there. You can't go anywhere here in Vegas. Have you noticed this? And you smell pot everywhere. Now, not to freak you out, but here's the reality. When you smell that, that's demon smoke. Think about it. Somebody is smoking something that's connecting them with the demon. That's how serious it's getting out there. We laugh and go, oh, that stinks. Yeah, that stinks all right. It stinks spiritually. Once you start using drugs, you get into an altered state of consciousness. Drugs, as we saw, are the way to do that. Marijuana is one of them. Shamanism, there's other ones. As we saw before, there's different ways the occult uses to get people into an altered state of consciousness. Once you get into an altered state of consciousness, then that's when demons can come in and influence you or possess you. We saw before, hypnotism is a way to get into an altered state of consciousness. I do not recommend that ever to anybody. I hope you never do that. And that's used in, again, psychotherapy, as well as some of these other shamanic practices. Repetitive movement, like the Hindu yogis, right? They'll have people, hey, you know, go up and down, doing all this. And you keep doing that for 45 minutes and then say, stop. You will get into an altered state of consciousness. We talked about that before. I mean, it's a good thing we don't see church services for 45 minutes. People going, and then all of a sudden the guy at the stage says, stop. Do you feel the spirit of God among? Yeah, it's not the spirit of God, though. We saw repetitive speech. The Hare Krishnas use this all the time. You see them going through the airport, wherever they're at, in their orange togas or whatever, right? And they're chanting their mantra over and over again. It's just the same repetitive phrase, gibberish, over and over again, just nonstop. And you keep that up, you're going to get into an altered state of consciousness. It's a good thing the church doesn't do that. Back to the unbiblical gift, speaking in not tongues, the biblical ones, which is a known language, the gibberish aspect, and doing it again and again and again and again and over and over and over again, and they think you're getting spiritual power. Well, yeah, you're going to get into an altered state of consciousness. The Hare Krishnas use that. That's another way. Certain body postures and stretches like yoga, which, again, as we saw before, means yoke. You're yoking with the Hindu deities through that process. And that's why many of the poses in yoga is mimicking the snake, who they think is a good spirit. It's nuts. Breathing exercises, meditation. So what they were promoting on their website, marijuana and meditation. Not a good combo. Okay? All of them, including marijuana, is going to get you into an altered state of consciousness. And once you do that, it isn't just a physical trip. That's the lie. I'm just relaxing. I'm just chilling out, man. No, you're opening up the door spiritually. In fact, I miss him greatly. Great researcher, Dave Hunt, told us years ago, this is really what you're doing. Watch this.
No one knows what hypnosis is. No one knows what goes on in the mind. It's an altered state of consciousness like yogis and witch doctors have been practicing. It loosens the normal connection between your spirit and your brain. And, of course, if the hypnotist can control you, make all kinds of suggestions, make you think things are happening that are not happening, make you think you have powers that you don't, experiences that you haven't, even implant memories. Other beings, if there are other minds out there, they could also do the same thing. Sir John Eccles, Nobel Prize winner for his research on the brain, describes the brain as, quote, a machine that a ghost can operate, unquote. What he means by that is your spirit operates your brain in a normal state of consciousness. In an altered state, reached under yoga, a TM, hypnosis, you have loosened the normal connection between your spirit and your brain, and that allows another spirit, other entities, other minds to interpose themselves and begin to tick off the neurons in your brain, create a universe of illusion. I believe that it's demonic. I think all of the evidence indicates this.
And I would agree. Drugs, including marijuana, is one of the fastest ways to get you in an altered state of consciousness, open you up to now a different spirit can come and not only influence you, but if you're not a Christian, they can possess you. And let me give you an easy example of another drug that I believe is causing full-on demon possession. Watch this.
A new synthetic killer drug known as Flacca is spreading rapidly across the United States and already causing an epidemic of overdose fatalities and acts of violence.
We're talking about Flacca.
Flacca.
The drug is called Flacca.
Some have dubbed it the insanity drug.
And it's everywhere.
It's been described as the scariest drug in the world.
More powerful than heroin or cocaine.
This is a synthetic drug that can alter your state of mind, raising excited delirium, body temperature, and literally losing their mind.
They're all experiencing like superhuman kind of strengths.
Or it takes six policemen to hold them down. That's a problem.
Psychotic breakdowns, hallucinations,
aggressive, violent behavior,
cannibalism and self-mutilation,
indiscriminate violence when Flacca takes over.
We are living in the context of the end of the age. We are a nation under judgment.
Welcome to stage one of the zombie apocalypse. It's been long theorized that controlled substances can bring people closer to the spirit world. Sometimes, however, what comes out of that experience isn't what you'd expect. And right now, our society is being plagued, dominated by an epidemic of controlled substances. In the 1970s, people were talking about peace and love, but nowadays, people are coming back from bad trips and total psychosis. The number of overdoses are up, as are the cases of total zombification, i.e. demonic possession.
And the more that they keep adding to the list, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's good for you. The whole planet's going to get like that. And it's going to lead to the seven-year tribulation society. That's how close we are. But hey, don't worry, man. I'm just using, you know, it's marijuana. I'm just taking a physical trip. You know, it's been a hard day, man, at work. I'm just relaxing. I'm just chilling from all this. I'm just calming my nerves. Would you stop listening to this guy? By the way, if you guys haven't caught on yet, that is not a dog. And zucchinis are not nothing you shoot with a shotgun. But this is the counterfeit, right? Satan's got power, but not like God. But he does have power, but his power is counterfeit. And the way that that gets distributed is through occult practices, which God condemns for our own good. And one of the fastest ways to get connected to that demonic realm is with drugs, demon possession. Now, the irony is this. These people who use this stuff, including marijuana, to admittedly connect with demons, it isn't just shamanism. I want to share this with you. Many religious cultures around the planet for centuries have used specifically marijuana to connect with demons. Let me give you just a couple examples and quote marijuana and religion. This is common knowledge if you look for it. Okay? It's been a part of long-standing tradition in numerous world faiths, including, number one, Chinese religion. Taoist shamans use cannabis in combination with ginseng to reveal truths about the future, believing that the plant had the ability to cast their spirit forward in time, and it was reserved for religious officials. Not only Chinese, but Indian. It's said that the gods, which would be demons, in this context, sent hemp out of compassion for the human race so that they may attain delight, lose fear, and increase sexual desires. whatever story you believe, there's no doubt that cannabis holds a sacred spot in the Hindu faith. The locally favored Hindu deity is given offerings of cannabis drinks during religious festivals, and community members often take part as well, sharing cannabis bowls amongst one another. Tibetan religion. India and Tibet share not only a border, but they share their rich tradition of religious cannabis consumption. Tibet is historically a Buddhist nation, and it is said that Buddha subsisted, listen, on one hemp seed a day for 6 years to aid in his path of enlightenment. That tells you where he got his inspiration from. Buddha is sometimes depicted holding a bowl of soma or cannabis leaves, and Buddhist practitioners would often consume cannabis to facilitate meditation or heighten awareness during religious ceremonies. Even the Greeks did this. Ancient cultures of the Scythians and the Assyrians, according to Herodotus, the Greek historian, wrote that the Scythians held religious ceremonies in tent-like structures where they burned hemp plants in censers on wooden tripods. Now, very interesting, because we saw before in our witchcraft study, you have the Oracle of Delphi. You guys remember that? The Oracle of Delphi would sit on a tripod as these vapors came up, and then she would have visions and could supposedly predict the future. People paid big bucks to come hear the Oracle of Delphi. Kings and people, hey, should I go to this battle? And they go to the Oracle, and here comes the fumes and whatever. This is nuts. But again, what's the common thread? Marijuana. Not only that, participants communally, so all together, inhaled smoke vapors for ritualistic and euphoric purposes and placed hemp-filled censers, containers for burning incense, on makeshift tripods over an open flame to produce, quote, intoxicating vapors. And we may have a whole study on this one. We'll see. Cannabis in Jamaican religion. And I quote, not their, my words, theirs. That's right, Mon. It's made popular in the U.S. by Bob Marley. It's been reintroduced by Snoop Dogg, and that's the Rastafarian movement that focuses on the, quote, spiritual use of cannabis, right? So they say this, and this is their words, obviously not mine. So this year, when you're taking part in your own traditions, be sure to light one up for the religious cannabis consumers of times past. If you're lucky, your spirit may just commune with one of the Taoists of old. No, you'd be communing with the demon. It's not even shamanism. It's most of the major religions around the world. If you want to connect with the demons, what's one of the fastest ways to do it? Alter state of consciousness. And what's one of the choice drugs they use to get you there really quick? Marijuana. And what have we been told? Just having fun, chilling out, entertainment. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And you wonder why it's getting so bad out there. Now, if you still don't believe, I want to give you another example of yet another shaman. This one's a female. And she readily admits that, again, marijuana is one of the fastest ways to connect with demons. But this one person who's calling in or writing in with a Q&A to the shaman is saying it ain't going well. But they admit as soon as they take it, their words, not mine, whoop, I'm right there. It happens that fast. But let's take a look at this.
Hello, everyone. This is Rachel Kirkland here, the Modern Shaman. Thanks for being with me this week for another YouTube question and answer time. If you're new to the channel, welcome, welcome, welcome. And please feel free to subscribe. Hit that like button, comment button. Tell me what you think. And just join our community. I'd love to keep up with all of you. I'm going to read the question for today. It's a long one. It's like part one and part two. They broke it down. So we're just going to dive right in. All right. And she says, I have a dark question. When I'm in meditation, I come across an angry black jaguar-like Tasmanian devil thing looking over my shoulder. It feels like violence to me and puts the thought into my head that if I experienced something violent in my life, it would catapult me forward on my spiritual journey. I'm scared of this, and every time this feeling or thing comes up, I get so scared, I jump out of my meditation and move away. What do I do with this? Okay, so this entity coming into your meditation time and then communicating thoughts of violence to you, or the thought that violence would be something positive for you on your journey. Part two of the question is, I smoke weed. My routine is to go for a week. Oh, walk. Sorry. Go for a walk, smoke weed, meditate, and connect. When I smoke, I feel like, womp, I'm there. The spiritual realm seems to suck me in completely. Is it bad that I'm using weed to get there? Is marijuana inviting these violent thoughts to me during my meditation? The question of substances and feeling like substances connect you to spirit. When I'm using the term substance very broad. Any sort of external that you take internally with the intention to meditate, connect with spirit, go deeper in your spiritual alignment through that medicinal, be it plant-based, like weed or ayahuasca. There's a lot of San Pedro. There's a lot of plant medicines that are set with that intention and have been through many generations. So let's go there first. I will say that weed, along with other plant-based medicines, even alcohol at times, they are portal inducers. They can induce a portal environment.
At least they're honest to admit it. What most people, even professing some Christians, refuse to. Call it a portal all you want. What's she saying? You do this, it's what? Opening up the demonic realm. Notice she mentioned another drug that's ayahuasca. We saw that in the voodoo. But what was that last one? She just kind of snuck in there?
Alcohol.
That's not a drug, is it?
No.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Affects your brain. You just think you're relaxing, chilling. Christians aren't sliding on that either, are they? Don't get me started. Drugs are one of the fastest ways. Been there, done that. Wish I wouldn't have bought the t-shirt. But this is why I was excited to finally get to share this study. And there's other drugs. But our society's being duped. You drive around Vegas, when you see those shops, when you see the signs, the billboards everywhere, and when you smell that smoke, put it now in this biblical context, our city is being infested with the practice that gets people connected with demons. But don't worry, we get a lot of taxes from it. And it's spreading across our country, across the world, and then they're adding more and more drugs to the list. What's it going to create? Revelation 9, the last days society, where people are going to be worshiping demons because of pharmakeia, and they're going to get so evil, their minds are so clouded, they refuse to repent and get right with God. And they will not stop their murders, their sexual morality, their thefts, all that stuff. This is where it's leading. That's what it is. So that's basically the practitioner. Again, that's the shaman. That's what he does. We saw the definition. We saw the practitioner, the shaman. And his whole goal was to use drugs. They got some other methods. We'll see. But drugs primarily, including marijuana, to have the demons possess him, speak through him for supposedly the benefit of other people. Which leads us to the third thing, and that is this, the practices of shamanism. What other things do they do that unfortunately invites demonic activity? Well, we're out of time, so we'll get to that, Lord willing, next time. Let's pray. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved.
Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly, and please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.